Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine reporting live from Washington, D.C., and I'm still high. No, not on marijuana. Never tried that. I'm high on the debate still from the night before last. I talked about it at length yesterday. I'm going to continue to talk about it today. I was so ecstatic with Hillary Clinton's performance that I endorsed her yesterday. But it's not just her. I'm also ecstatic about Bernie Sanders' performance. This was the first American debate that I can recall in my lifetime. Maybe it happened in the 60s. I wasn't around then. But where we had a strong debate on liberal Democrats versus social Democrats, socialist Democrats, democratic socialists. And socialist was not used as a bad word. Not used as a clever way to make Americans think of Russian communism, which, of course, it's nothing like, but a way to compare the systems that work in Sweden and Denmark and France with the, liberal democracy. In fact, this could actually be a European debate where the so-called social democratic parties would be on the side of Bernie Sanders, sometimes they call them the Christian democratic parties, but really they'd be about the same with the Democratic Party is, would be on the side of Hillary Clinton. And they discussed the things that Americans care about. They talked about paid family medical leave, how to balance family life and work. They talked about concentrated economic power, how it is that the rich are so much richer, and how much their wealth is growing, while ordinary middle-class, working-class people have seen their wages basically stay the same or even go down. They talked about education, how it is that you can make a difference. You can get to the capitalist world in which we live. They talked about guns. How could you not talk about guns, given the massacres that occur every single day? These are the issues that Americans care about. Healthcare, the environment, climate change. These are the issues that I dare say, not just most Democrats, but most Republicans, most independents. These are working issues, kitchen table issues. How are we going to raise a family? How are we going to make ends meet? How are we going to get the children educated? How are we going to pay for healthcare? Compare that to the Republican debate. That was about personalities. That was about anger. That was about insults. That was about who could insult the other the worst. They didn't even talk about their major concerns, which are shrinking government, making sure that the rich get richer, making sure that it's easier to pollute, making sure that Donald Trump gets more casinos. What were their issues? I mean, I guess they attacked Planned Parenthood. They want to force poor women to have more kids. They're not going to provide for those kids. They're not going to allow them to have shelter or health care or food. They love the fetus, hate the child. Yes, force that woman to give us a fetus and then kill the child because we're not going to give him health care or education or shelter or anything. That parent should work. Well, but the parent didn't want to have the child in the first place. Well, we forced her to have the child. Now she must take care of it. Compare the way the Democrats worked with each other. On family medical leave, it was yes and yes and yes for the three Democrats in the center. I don't care about the two on the edge. I don't really need to mention Webb or Chafee again. They should just leave the stage and get out of here. And I like Martin O'Malley. I don't think he's a contender, but I think he's a good guy. I'll leave him at least to chat about. Maybe he's running for vice president. But it wasn't just that Hillary did a great job, a wonderful job, a presidential job, that she handled the attacks on her with aplomb. It was Bernie Sanders did a wonderful job in bringing out the passion, bringing out the real anger that Americans feel about our democracy being corrupted by special interests, big interests, corporations feeding so much to the candidates, to the wealthy, buying off Congress because of Citizens United, the Supreme Court decision. But I want you to look at, apart from liberal versus conservative policies, look at how the Democrats treated each other. Look at the way Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, when they shook hands and they smiled, they actually like each other. They really do. I think they respect each other. I think they respect each other's talents. I think Bernie Sanders respects Hillary Clinton's competence. I think Hillary Clinton respects Bernie Sanders' passionate honesty. I think they generally like each other. I think Martin O'Malley as well. The Democrats were all about, yes, we believe in these values. Now, how are we going to achieve them? Compare the Republicans. All that infighting, all that nastiness, personal attack after personal attack. What were the issues in their debates? I don't even remember. I really don't. I just remember each of them personally attacking each other. Now, Democrats were not always this good, I dare say. There was a time not that long ago, 30, 40 years ago, when Will Rogers, the American humorist, famously said, "I'm not a member of any organized party. I'm a Democrat." Democrats were fighting all the time. Ted Kennedy and Jimmy Carter. We had, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. And I remember in that race, and it was a very close decision for me. I did endorse Barack Obama, but it was a tough decision for me. I've always liked Hillary. It got ugly. People got nasty. People were saying it was, you know, voting for Hillary was somehow anti-black or voting for Obama was somehow anti-woman. Neither was true. There were strong reasons to support both candidates. And it got a little nasty. I remember one person who was a Hillary Clinton supporter in 2008, a friend of mine, saying he was going to vote for John McCain because his candidate lost. And I remember telling him he was an idiot because the difference between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton on policy is, what, 5%, if that? With John McCain, it was vastly different. And that's because of the anger. That's because of the animus. That's because of Democrats fighting each other. I've seen it personally. In my home race, many of you know I'm going to be a delegate in the state of Virginia. A guy called in yesterday just to attack me with a whole bunch of lies because his candidate lost. I beat his candidate in the primary, and he's still crying about it. Well, these kinds of sore losers harm the party. They harm the Democratic Party. This kind of infighting, there are differences among the candidates. But I'm proud of the fact that, for example, the primary that I just won in June, we had five good progressive candidates. All of us said our vision. We didn't spend time attacking each other. We simply spoke about our vision, and some of us focused on one thing and some of us focused on another thing. And that's exactly what Hillary and Bernie are doing. They're focusing on their vision. And they have differences, no doubt about it. But the proudest thing I have is that, as a Democrat, is that when Hillary Clinton is asked about Bernie Sanders, she says, "I'm going to tell you about me." And when Bernie Sanders is asked about Hillary Clinton, he says, "I'm going to tell you about me." And when they really, really push, when Anderson Cooper, as he should do, really, really pushes them and says, "Well, who's better on the banks?" And Bernie says, "I'm better on the banks." Hillary says, "I'm better on the banks." And they both say they're better on guns. And that's fine. But they're comparing each other's plans. They're not attacking each other as people. And that's when Democrats are strong. And whoever wins the Democratic nomination, whether it be Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, or I guess Martin O'Malley, though I'm just saying this out of theory, I really don't think it's possible. But I will gloriously and hardly and enthusiastically work. I don't mean to say hardly work. I will work hard for all three of them. I will work hard for the Democratic nominee. I would be proud, honored. I am endorsing Hillary Clinton. I would support her. But I would happily and heartily work for Bernie Sanders, for Martin O'Malley. And it's crucial. It's crucial that Hillary supporters reach out to Bernie supporters. It's crucial that Bernie supporters reach out to Hillary supporters. We need to be a united party. When we are united, we win. We don't need this internal sniping. Look how the internal sniping is tearing the Republicans apart. The Republicans can't even figure out a Speaker of the House. They can't even get their caucus to agree on whether or not to shut the government down, whether or not to pay back national debts. Their leaders in their presidential race are laughable. 60% of the Republicans in the polls support people who've never held office before. Not just not governors, not senators, not dog catcher, nothing. Nothing. You've got Donald Trump, who had a fraudulent university. You've got Carly Fiorina, who one of the worst CEOs of modern times. You've got Ben Carson. He may be a brilliant doctor, but he's a kook. The man seems to be need to have a screw loose. He said that gay people become gay because of prison. He said that.
What?
He said that. He said that the Affordable Care Act.
Idiot.
that Barack Obama's Obamacare, Affordable Care Act, what he likened it to slavery. He, well, there's just a whole host of Ben Carson's. He said that, when one time when he was held up with a gun, he pointed the gunman at the person that the gunman should shoot. the teller at the, I don't know, the fast food chain, wherever he was. This guy is whack. He's crazy, and yet he's got 20%. Trump's got 30%. Carly Fiorina's 10%, and everyone else is single digits. When 60% of the Republicans support legitimately whack presidents, I don't mean people who have differences of opinion on health care or taxes. I mean people who are off the wall. That tells you that their party is falling apart. And I dare say the reason their party is falling apart is they're letting their differences trump what they agree on. At this point, you've got the Tea Party caucus of the House of Representatives wagging the dog, controlling the larger Republican caucus. And they're all afraid of each other. And in their gerrymandered districts, they're more afraid of being primaried on the right than running against Democrats. And the one thing consistent about Republicans, the real difference between them and Democrats, is they are focused on helping themselves. They are focused on getting elected. They are focused on destroying their Republican opposition and taking power. And if it means lying to the American people, they will do it. They'll say idiotic things like, we can force President Obama to do everything we want, like defund Planned Parenthood, when, of course, they can't. They pretend they have majority control and then 60 votes in the Senate, which they don't have. And then they lie to their voters, and then their voters believe their lies and then are angry at the leadership, John Boehner and Kevin McCarthy, because they're not delivering on what they promised, when the answer is Republicans promised things they couldn't deliver. Democrats have been very honest. Yeah, we support paid family medical leave. Yeah, we support good gun safety regulation. Yes, we support making college debt more affordable, making college more affordable. But we recognize we need more Democrats to do it. We say so openly and bluntly. We say that this is what we want to do, and you got to vote for us to get it. We don't lie to the American people. And because we get along, because Bernie Sanders is willing to say, I don't care about your damn emails in the moment that will be remembered in history. Decades from now, the Democratic debate will be remembered for that line. I don't care about your damn emails. Enough with the emails. Shows a party with much more in common. Yeah, we have some differences. When I supported Hillary, I got some pushback from Bernie supporters. They didn't attack me personally. They didn't attack Hillary personally. Yeah, Republicans do it. Most Sanders supporters just argue they think that Bernie Sanders is a better advocate for progressive causes than Hillary Clinton. And they should make that argument. And Hillary should make the argument that she's a good progressive warrior, but she has a pragmatic streak and she can get it done. And they'll keep making that argument, and may the best candidate win. But what I'm praising is how much we all get along. Because when Democrats support each other, we do amazing things. And when we fight each other, well, we go down fighting. Look at 1968. Look at 1980 with Kennedy Carter. Look at Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, because even though they fought a nasty primary, they came together, they supported each other, and Barack Obama won in a landslide. Let's have more Democrats supporting each other as we look over at the Republicans and watch them fall apart. This is Mark Levine. Call in 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Democrats stick together. Republicans attack each other. Was not always the case 50 years ago. Democrats were each other's throat in 1968 and the Kennedy-Carter race of 1980. And Republicans, well, Ronald Reagan once said the 11th commandment was, do not speak ill of a fellow Republican. That's so 35 years ago. Not anymore. Today, the Democrats, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, they disagree on a number of issues, but they do so with respect, with passion. I'm so proud of my party. When we stick together, we win. While Republicans, well, they're having a nasty food fight, both in the presidential level and at the congressional level. Time to throw all those bums out. Let me go to Reggie in Georgia on line one. Hey, Reggie, how are you?
How you doing, Mark? And happy Thursday to you, man.
Happy Thursday.
Well, did you hear what Donald Trump said about Bernie Sanders?
Oh, no, I didn't. I'm afraid. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know what he said, but I just heard that he said something about Bernie Sanders.
Oh, well, I'll Google it. We'll find out what he said. Oh, he called him a maniac. I just found it on Google here. Called him a maniac. That's you know, talking about the pot calling the kettle black. Trump calling someone else a maniac? Yeah, right.
Yeah, but you know, and they're going to attack Hillary Clinton regardless, nonstop, whether she wins the presidency or not. They're going to attack her nonstop. They've been doing it for over 20 years. They're like the Terminator. Once they're programmed to come after your ass, they don't stop until the job is done. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but here's the thing. I actually think Bernie really helped Hillary in saying no one cares about your damn emails. It was blunt, it was honest, and it got him a standing ovation. The only standing ovation, by the way, of the night. So I think that reflects what most Americans feel. They want to hear about family paid medical leave. They don't want to hear about emails.
Yeah, but why do the Republicans keep obsessing about that? And Benghazi,
because that's all they got. The Republicans are the party of no. No government, no goodness. They're the party of attack, the party of destroy. I mean, look at a guy like John Kerry, a very honorable man. You could disagree on his policies, but they attacked him, said he wasn't a war hero. And now Donald Trump says John McCain isn't a war hero, his fellow Republican. So they're all about attack. They're all about negativity. They're all about trying to get the anger, depressed American to vote for them, whereas Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton are talking about a bright future. And I think at the end of the day, Americans are going to go toward the light. They're not going to want the party that's attacking each other, destroying each other. They want the people that say positive things about their future.
Yeah, but they're attacking the president, too, as well as you very
well. Of course. And they attacked Bill Clinton, too.
Right.
I mean, none of this is new.
Right.
This is what they do. The Republicans are the party of negativity. They're the party of tearing things down, the party of destruction, the party of destroying government. And Democrats are the party of building people up, making America a better place. And that optimism that we have versus the pessimism and destruction Republicans have, that optimism, totally apart from policies, that tone, it's gonna be what makes us win the presidency in 2016. It's Mark Levine. Call in 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back right after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I'm still reeling, it's nice to have good news for a change. I'm in joy over the Democratic debate. It was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing. Whether you're a Bernie Sanders supporter or a Hillary Clinton supporter, it was a beautiful thing. And let me say this. I was reading an article in the Washington Post by Harold Meyerson called The Socialist Difference. And he ends by saying this. I couldn't agree with him more. He says, in the United States, liberalism advances only when radicalism is bubbling, which is why Clinton and Sanders need each other and why the Democrats need them both. He points out that even in socialist democracies like Sweden or Germany, because workers have rights, because workers sit on corporate boards, capitalism is better. Small businesses are stronger. Corporations are looking not for profits per se, but for how to make their country a better place. They know that if their workers are trained well, they can go somewhere else, and therefore they're willing to get rid of old technologies like, say, dirty oil and embrace new things like green technology because they know that people aren't going to be out of a job. You don't have to talk about, oh, those coal workers are going to lose their job. They're in charge. They can go to the new place. They don't have a tax system that encourages offshoring the way we do. So socialism helps capitalism, I dare say, and capitalism does better with socialism. And I guess that's why I'm a Hillary Clinton supporter, because I believe in both. But I'm not at all against the ideas of Bernie Sanders. I'm glad he's there, and I'm really glad Democrats are working together. When we work together, when we help each other, we win. When we destroy each other, we fall apart. And that's why, at least as of now, if this trajectory keeps going, I'm very confident about 2016. I'm confident in the presidency. I'm confident in the Congress. Now, I recognize, I've been around the block. I know that a year from now, when we're actually looking at the election November 2016, things can really change. Frankly, a month is a lifetime in politics, much less a year. But let's keep it up. We've got a good start. Let's keep Democrats supporting each other. Let's sit back and watch the Republicans tear each other limb from limb. And I think you'll see which party the American people go to. Reggie, I had to cut you off for the break, but we're back. I know you had more to say.
Yes. I mean, like you said earlier about Donald Trump, the pot calling the kettle black. I mean, like you said, this is the guy who's a megalomaniac himself, and yet he calls other people, shall we say, megalomaniacs.
Bernie's very honest. It's really, exactly. Here's the thing about Bernie. Bernie Sanders. This guy is an honest Democratic socialist. There's not a dishonest bone in his body. This is a guy who truly believes and fights hard and passionately for his beliefs. I have tremendous respect for Bernie Sanders. Even where I disagree with him, I have tremendous respect for him. And the fact that Donald Trump is just calling him names tells you what Donald Trump's politics is all about.
Yeah, it's amazing how these guys want to act up behind the computer, a microphone, or in front of TV camera lenses, but they can't do it out in public to somebody else, you know. If you're that big, bad, bold, brave, courageous, and tough, why don't you come up to somebody's face and say the thing that you say behind, shall we say, closed doors, like behind the Internet, or in front of the Internet, behind the microphone, or in front of television cameras. You know what I'm saying?
Here's the thing, Reggie. It's not about the tough guy, right? Yeah. It's not about who could win in a fight. To fight in politics, the rules are not who can punch the other guy out. Right. The rules are who has a better policy. That's how you punch someone out in politics, right? You
right.
provide a plan that works, that makes sense, that doesn't cost too much, and that the American people love, and you deliver a knockout. And that's how you deliver a blow. And if people insult each other without delivering competent policy measures, well, they're just tearing everybody down, and eventually, frankly, they get no respect whatsoever. The person who spends all his life insulting someone else and works really hard to tear down their fellow American, it frankly, nobody supports them. And that's why I'm confident that Donald Trump, even if he wins the Republican nomination, has no shot of becoming president of the United States.
Right. And like you said about Ben Carson earlier, I mean, the only people who advocate and support his rhetoric are, you know, right-wing radio and TV talk show hosts and the Tea Party, and the Republicans, in fact, who support his rhetoric about weapons and, you know, about firearms and gay people and Muslims and Latinos and...
Oh, yeah, he said he wouldn't have voted for a Muslim
women
president. Right.
And black people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
no,
he himself is black.
Well, you know, what can I say? There are charlatans of every color. Yeah, I remember when Clarence Thomas was up for I was in law school at the time, and he was going to be a justice. And most black students got it, that he was very dangerous. But there were a few African-American students who said, well, you know, he's a black guy. He can't be as bad as everyone says he is.
Right.
You know, he's black. He can't be that anti-black. Well, I dare say Clarence Thomas is one of the most anti-black members of the U.S. Supreme Court we've ever had.
Right.
You know, and the fact that his skin color is black, you would have much preferred a Justice Ginsburg, you know, or a Justice Kagan or a Justice Sotomayor than Clarence Thomas. So, yeah, the fact that Ben Carson's black, it's a shame, because there's a lot of extremely intelligent, highly qualified African-American candidates, and then there's Ben Carson.
Yes, and he and Clarence Thomas are what we like to call in the black neighborhood, my hood, my community, my people, coon. Every race has one. You know, you got a black coon, a white coon, a female coon.
Uncle Thomas.
You know, a gay coon, you know, Asian.
Not a word I want to say too much on air, but I get your point. They're traitors to their people. I get it. Anything else you want to say, Reggie?
Yeah, I mean, and I hope, like you said, I hope that the Republicans just, you know, implode and fall apart as we all predicted it would be.
Well, they are now. I don't know if they'll keep it up. They may try to, by the time of the election, they may try to patch it all together. But I hope people remember October 2015 and October 2016. I really hope they do. Thanks for your call, Reggie.
Thank
I appreciate
you,
it. Let me go to Michael in the Bronx, Old Faithful, calling in on line two. How are you, Michael?
Hey, what's up, Mark?
Hey there. What are your thoughts on the debates?
Well, people would say that Hillary won. People may say that Bernie won. But actually, who lost the debate? I'm sure everyone will agree with me in saying the losers are the Republicans because they have been exposed left, right, north, south, east, and west at that debate. And unlike what we saw in the Republican debates, everything was about me, myself, and I, and trash talking, hardly touching base on any of the issues, honestly, and hardly any truth coming from that debate. This Democratic debate, excuse me, it seemed to me that everyone was pretty much on the same page.
It was a beautiful thing. People were courteous to each other. There were the two on the ends, I must say, Webb and Chafee. They didn't impress me very much. I think and hope they'll be gone soon, but it didn't matter. Collectively, the two of them together don't have 1% of the Democrats, so whatever. Anyone has a right to run. But the three in the center, and I include Martin O'Malley in this too. I know his polls aren't very high, but I think he handled himself very credibly. I think Martin O'Malley one day might be a fine president. But the three of them in the middle, what I like so much, it wasn't just their value, which I love, obviously. It was the way they treated each other. They treated each other with progressive values. Bernie Sanders said, you know, enough with the damn emails. Hillary Clinton recognized Bernie Sanders' passion. She actually came toward him on a number of issues. And where they disagreed, they did so respectfully. This is the way American politics should be.
They all recognize what the problems that we have, and they all reminded everyone about the Republican obstructionism that's been going on, the party of no, on how we have not gotten as far as we wanted to. Each of them just have different ways of correcting that, and that's understandable, all right? But the fact is that all three in the middle had concerns about the people. And if this is of any kind of comfort to you, Mark, if you were to compare the two front runners of both parties, the front runner on the Republican side is Donald Trump, the front runner on the Democratic side is Hillary Clinton, all right? I think you mentioned before that Hillary had like a 79% approval rating or something like that?
Something like that among Democrats.
Okay. Now, you're going to love this part. 79% favorable rating amongst the people, all right?
Among Democrats.
In general. Democrats?
Yeah, I don't think it's 79% among all people. No, it's among Democrats.
Well, let's look at it this way. And this is how I'm assessing it. When you compare it with Donald Trump, who only has less than 50%. I know it's a broad number. I've heard it was only 40%. Someone said it dropped down to like a tie with Ben Carson, 27%.
Yeah, it changes.
That is low numbers right there.
I'll tell you something. You know, it's been weird
to me. You
know where
I'm going with this?
Yeah, where are you going? Okay.
Where I'm going with this is that there's always a concern of who amongst the two can win the hearts and the minds of the independents. And when I look at the comparison of those two numbers, I got to say, it's got to be Hillary. I don't think any independent will really side with Donald Trump unless they're really a Republican at heart.
Well, I think so, too. And I'll tell you something. Donald Trump, I must admit, I didn't take him seriously. Frankly, I still don't take him seriously. I didn't think he would go anywhere. And that's true. So I predicted that Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio would win the nomination, and they still might. There's lots of voting months away. But the fact that he's doing so well for so long and has lasted this long, actually, as a Democrat, I'm all right with. I don't mind if Donald Trump is the standard bearer of the Republican Party. Frankly, he shows the Republican Party for what it is. It's a bunch of angry insults. That's what the Republican, angry insults and destruction and putting people down. It's the party of negativity. It's the party of no. And what better face for angry, dismissive, insulting negativity than Donald Trump? So, you know what? I think he does represent his party. I wish him well, to the nomination at least. I want him to win the nomination, and I think that Hillary Clinton can beat him in 35, 40 states.
But you know something, Mark? You know what's the best part about all this? Is that every one of them, Republicans and even Democrats, they're all on audio and videotape for what they said and what they have done as well. So the reason why I say this is because the Republicans that you have said, the party of no, party of insult, a party of obstructionism, you know, they're all on video and audio, be it Donald Trump, Jeb Bush. You can go down the list and who's really been fighting against the people.
And when it gets to a general election, we have all these audios stored, right? That's your point.
There you go.
That we can show these videos, because here's the dirty little truth is, 15 million watched the Democratic debate. That's good. That's the highest actually that have ever watched a Democratic primary in American history. 25 million watched the Republican debate. Again, highest in American history. But 40 million Americans out of a country of 300 million plus Americans is still 10%, 12%, 13%. It's not that much. And I don't think most Americans are following the race now. So it may very well change 2, 3, 4 months from now, you know, a year from now, when Americans have to actually vote and make their decision. But I hope people remember these early days and remember that Democrats stand with each other, showed goodwill, and remember the Republicans tearing each other's hair out, because I think that is the difference right there.
And that's why I say audio and video. Just go back to the audio and video recordings as evidence to remind everybody of who stands with where.
And fair enough.
You know
all
what
right.
I'm saying?
Thank you. I agree. Thank you, Michael. Thanks for calling in. Folks, if you want to join the conversation, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. I'd like to hear from you. We'll be right back after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Washington, D.C., talking about Democrats sticking together, being nice to each other, disagreeing agreeably, and the difference between us and that food fight over there in the Republican Party, whether in the presidential race or in Congress, Republicans are tearing each other into little pieces. I think that bodes well for Democrats. William in New Mexico on line one, what say you?
Yes.
Welcome to the show, William.
I'm trying to get position on my cell phone so I don't get dropped. There, amigo. Let
okay.
me tell you, nobody out here has cable. I'm in the Rocky Mountain West, amigo, and there are tons of Indians out here. There are tons of Hispanic people, both from Spain and from Mexico. The cable companies won't go into that country. It's too spread out. There's not enough people living there. Nobody has cable. They need to go back to the...
Did you couldn't watch the interview? Could you watch the debate?
I could not. It was blacked out. I don't have CNN. I don't have cable.
You know, no computer either.
Pardon?
All you got is radio then. The only way you can get it is by listening
and
to
they
me.
Said it was gonna going to be on the radio, and I looked at AM and FM channels up and down the dial. It was not on the radio here in Albuquerque.
Really?
I would thought NPR would have broadcast it, but they didn't.
Well, that's disappointing, Wave. Do you have access to a computer?
I do not.
You do not. I'll tell you what you can do.
The ones that I can't afford come over the telephone line.
I'll tell you what you can do, William. Seriously, go into the public library in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and go there.
No, I know you told me this.
I did tell you that. I think.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, go in the public library, go to CNN.com, and you should be able to watch the entire debate, and I think you'll see that Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Martin O'Malley, did a very good
I've
job.
Seen enough snippets of it, and NPR did run some highlights, so I got a general idea. And of course, I listen to y'all, the progressive radio. God bless AM 1350 for still carrying your channel here, and God bless them for doing that. They're doing God's work.
God bless AM 1350. I couldn't agree with you more. And we're glad to do that and provide it to you. One of the things I like to do, William, is I do try to provide for any of these debates sort of the best parts of the debates, to play them at length because of people like you, sometimes because people are too busy to watch it, but also people like you who don't have cable and don't have, you know, it's not played on radio, just so you can get a gist of what happened. So I'm really glad to do that, and I promise you I'm going to keep doing that for every single debate going forward. So keep listening.
Well, I was in the protest in Vietnam, dude. And I almost got my ass drafted. I lost a lot of friends in the NOM.
Yeah.
And the only reason I graduated from Clemson is because the war ended the year I graduated in 1972.
Well, hang
Otherwise,
in there,
I'd be calling you from Canada.
Yeah, no, I hear you. You hang in there, William, and thanks for calling in. I do appreciate it. So we just got a few minutes to go. I want to just reflect again. Yeah, I endorsed Hillary Clinton. Yeah, I thought she was amazing. I thought she was presidential. I thought she was calm. I thought she took attacks with aplomb, with a big smile on her face. I thought it was the perfect way to take attacks. She pointed out that the Republicans are all about no, and they've even admitted it, right? Kevin McCarthy, the majority leader of the Republicans in the House, admitted that the whole purpose of the Benghazi hearings was to lower Hillary Clinton's poll numbers. She brought that up at the appropriate time, and she responded to Carly Fiorina's claim that we couldn't afford Family and Medical Leave Act in a beautiful way. One, she mentioned California already does it, the largest state in the United States, bigger than a lot of countries, but also that Republicans are always attacking government when there's any time government can help people. But you don't mind big government, she said, when they're trying to interfere with our personal lives, with a woman's right to choose, with gay couples trying to get married, with people trying to choose their own religion. If you want the government to intervene in the most private aspects of your life, whether or not to have a child, who you love, what books you read, what religion you should practice, the Republicans are all about big government. They want big government reading all your emails. They want big government interfering with your privacy. But when it comes to government helping people, we shouldn't be paralyzed by this Republican refrain, big government this, big government that. Government can help. Social Security has made a major difference. Medicare has made a major difference. The Affordable Care Act, although imperfect, has made a major role in helping people's lives. I think she made the argument very well. I think Bernie Sanders made a very strong argument about Wall Street, about banks, about income inequality. I respect his passion. I respect his supporters. And Martin O'Malley did a good job, too, and particularly talking about green energy. Here's what we Democrats have that the Republicans don't. We can talk to each other. We can agree or disagree. We do so agreeably. We do so with a smile. We are the party of positive visions. Never let a Democrat tear another Democrat down. And if they do it, you call them on it. Because it's one of the big things that makes us better than the Republican Party right now. This is Mark Levine. Follow me on Twitter @MarkLevineTalk. We'll be back tomorrow.